National News.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sponty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young broadcasting from Washington. Welcome to the April 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We kick off with the world of badminton, where Badminton Confederation Africa and the Badminton Federation of Nigeria have expressed shock on the death of Bello Oyebanji, who was the reigning African champion in the S14 category of para-badminton. Bello is also the badminton head coach of Kwara State in North Central Nigeria. Francis Obi is the president of Badminton Federation of Nigeria, and he spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye about the death of the African champion.
The badminton family across the world recently lost a great ambassador, the person of Bello Rafiu Oyebanji of Kwara State. Bello Oyebanji was Africa's number one in the SL4 para badminton event, who lost his life in a motor accident on Wednesday, the 21st of April, 2021.
Has Bello Oyebanji qualified for the para-badminton event of the Tokyo Olympic Games?
Bello was a triple gold medalist at the African Para-Badminton Championships in Uganda 2018. He was the head coach for badminton in Kwara State. Bello was on the verge of qualifying for the Paralympics to represent Nigeria at that event, which was why he had made this fateful trip to Lagos to process his visa to travel for the Spanish championship. It was on his way back from this journey that he lost his life.
What would the late badminton player be remembered for and some of his achievements and records in the game?
Bello will be remembered for his great accomplishments as a coach and as a player. At the recently concluded National Sports Festival in Benin, two of his players won a gold medal in the women's doubles. Bello has groomed a lot of young players and nurtured them to become champions. That was his hobby, and that was what he loved to do. He's going to be greatly missed. He has created a very big vacuum for badminton in Nigeria and para-badminton in Nigeria and in Africa. We pray for the repose of his soul, and we hope that the kind of life he lived would inspire a lot of other coaches and players coming after him to follow his footsteps. God bless him.
That was Francis Obi, the president of Badminton Federation of Nigeria, and he spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye on phone from Abuja, Nigeria.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the African beat, Samson O'Malley joins us now with another extra spicy package of African sports. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Prince Nesta. We begin the weekend wrap of African sports action in Cairo, where the draws for the Beach Soccer African Cup of Nations Senegal 2021 was conducted on Thursday at the CAF headquarters in Cairo, Egypt. The draw put the host and title holders Senegal in Group A alongside DR Congo, Tanzania and Uganda, while Group B involves Egypt, Mozambique, Morocco and the Seychelles. Host Senegal will kick off the tournament against debutant DR Congo on the 23rd of May 2021. Salim Jamal Mwongo is a coach of the Sand Beach Cranes of Uganda. He reacts to his side pairings in the draws.
The group stage we are in is tough. We have been facing Senegal. We have been facing Tanzania. We don't have much details about Congo, but Senegal as a host is tough. And we are hoping to be out of this group to go to the next stage.
Staying with football news, following the conclusion of the group stages of the continent's two elite club competitions, the Confederation of African Football has conducted the draws for the 2020-2021 Total CAF Champions League and the Total CAF Confederations Cup knockout stages. CAF Director of Competitions Samson Adamu was assisted by Cote d'Ivoire legend Abdoulaye Traoré in the draws conducted in Cairo. The Total CAF Champions League quarterfinalists are Simba SC of Tanzania, who reached the semi-finals in 1974, Al Ahly SC of Egypt, record 9-time champions and title holders, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, who were champions in 2016, CR Belouizdad of Algeria, who are making their debut appearance in the last 8, Wydad AC of Morocco, 2-time champions, the last was in 2017, Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa, also making their debut appearance in the quarterfinals, alongside Esperance of Tunisia, 4-time champions, and MC Alger of Algeria, who were champions in 1976. In the Total CAF Confederations Cup, the quarterfinalists are Enyimba of Nigeria, who are twice CAF Champions League winners, Orlando Pirates of South Africa, who were also CAF Champions League winners in 1995 and Confederations Cup winners in 2015, JS Kabylie of Algeria, Cotton Sports of Cameroon, ASC Los Jaraf of Senegal, CS Faxien of Tunisia, Raja Casablanca of Morocco, and Pyramids of Egypt. Staying with football news, but in Ghana, Youth and Sports Minister Mustafa Usif is shopping for $25 million from government and corporate bodies to be used to cater for the needs and welfare of all the national football teams in Ghana. However, a declaration by the Minister for Youth and Sports that the country will spend $25 million on the 2022 African Cup of Nations and the World Cup has been met with anger by some Ghanaians on social media after a breakfast meeting held with the chief executive officers from Corporate Ghana and the country's president, Nana Akufo-Addo. President of the Ghana Football Association, Kurt Okraku, has described the negative public reaction to the proposed initiative by the Ministry of Youth and Sports as unfortunate.
It's not really about the Black Stars. It's about the football industry. It's about all our national teams. But the truth of the matter is that in sports marketing, you need to identify your most attractive brands and leverage the strength of the brands. In the Ghanaian ecosystem, the biggest brand, the most attractive brands, is the Black Stars and is the GPL. Okay, so we need to leverage that to ensure that we bring more people to be interested in our sport.
The GFA president also argued that the Minister of Youth and Sports should be commended and not condemned.
Well, I think that it's a very, very good initiative by the Honourable Minister. The campaign was clearly and is clearly aimed at all our national teams. Black Stars inclusive, CAN, upcoming CAN in Cameroon exclusive, World Cup qualification games inclusive. Beginning, ending of this year, all our national teams will be in action. We need to start preparing them. Next year is an extremely busy year for all our national teams. So that singular effort by the sector minister is right. It's a step in the right direction. We have to support him because football is capital intensive. Okay, we derive satisfaction from watching football. And you cannot play figures to this, for which reason every country, every government would always want to support the passion of the people. And this is what the minister and the president of our land has initiated.
The Black Stars have already qualified for the AFCON 2022 tournament and will begin the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers in June this year. And to some record history-making news, Zimbabwe's Langton Ruseri made history on Thursday as he became the first black African in cricket history to umpire a test match. The 35-year-old is one of the field umpires for the 5-day game between Zimbabwe and Pakistan that began on Thursday at the Harare Sports Club. Ruseri stood in his first international match in July 2015, a T20I between Zimbabwe and India, and a game that was in Harare. In rugby news, 12 teams will battle for gold at the men's rugby sevens at the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. Kenya Sevens have already booked their spot, and for Kenya Sevens coach Innocent Namkos Simiu, he's insisting that no single player is assured of a place in his final 13-man squad for the Summer Olympics, slated for July 23rd to August the 8th, but he's confident that his squad will put up some impressive showing.
Camp has been very good so far. The boys are really raising their hands. in regards to the selection for the team that will participate in the Stellenbosch Solidarity Cup, and we are quite happy with the players so far. We've been lucky not to have any injuries so far. The boys are really pushing themselves. We have just more rugby levels, which we are monitoring. From Daniel Tabu, Argentina team. But the others are fresh and fit to play. We have another game because we've been doing games every Saturday.
And now to basketball. The Basketball African League, together with producer and distributor Fremantle, award-winning True Detective producer Richard Brown and sports marketing company Infront, have teamed up to produce an original documentary series telling the story of the launch and inaugural season of the Basketball African League, a new professional league featuring 12 club teams from across Africa, tipping off on Sunday, May 16th in Kigali, Rwanda. The series will be directed by up-and-coming South African director Thibogo Malope. The BAL, a partnership between the National Basketball Association of the United States and the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, marks the NBA's first collaboration to operate a league outside of North America. Staying with basketball, Josep Claros has been confirmed as the head coach of Angola's men's team, the country's basketball federation has announced. The Spaniard, known as Pepe Claros in basketball circles, gets the job after the resignation of Brazilian José Neto, who guided the team throughout the 2021 FIBA AfroBasket qualifiers last November and this February 2021. According to the Basketball Association of Angola, Claros' agreement with the former African champions will run until the end of this year's AfroBasket, set to take place in Kigali, Rwanda, from August 25th to September the 4th. In volleyball news now, the final of the Women's Volleyball Club African Championship will take place tonight at the Asiya Ben Nasser Hall in Kiliba, Tunisia. It will be an all Tunisian affair after CS Sfaxien and Carthage convincingly won their semifinals against Nigeria's Customs and Prison of Kenya, respectively. Both games ended 3-0 in favor of the home teams. In the bronze medal match, Kenyan Prisons will square it out against Nigeria's Customs on Friday. Kenyan Prisons coach is David Lungau.
The biggest lesson we've learned is that we can lose, despite the fact that we have good players. But I'm happy because the performance has been very good. In fact, I didn't expect them to play that way, because now that we have played a strong match, it has opened our girls up, and they'll now be ready to fight. So for me, I'm impressed. And when you have a team like this one, where we have very experienced players and some players who are making a debut, then it's something that is balanced. But all in all, I think our spirit remains the same. It was just small errors, and you win the match. And also the side favored them, because you can remember all sets are won on one side.
In other news from volleyball, Kenya Volleyball Federation have named a squad of 16 players for the tour of Brazil next month in preparation for the Tokyo Olympic Games. My Kia Strikers, as the female national volleyball team is called, will travel to the South American country for a 45-day high-performance training camp where they're expected to play friendly matches. Four players were, however, dropped from the initial 20-member squad. International Volleyball Federation FIBA coach Ladme Gebre, who has been detailed by the FIVB to offer technical support to the Kenyan team, has exuded confidence that Kenya's national women's volleyball team will show a splendid performance in this year's Tokyo Olympic Games.
Do you know what is the most important thing to win the Olympic Games? It's not the skill, it's not the capacity, but desire. You know, everybody is watching Africa like, they cannot do it or something like that. I'm coming from the small village, and I proved that it's possible. So what we want is help these girls to make their nation and their country proud and see that it's possible. So all eyes, not only of Africa, but entire world, are watching these girls. So they need all our support, all our experience to give them, to make them strong, to make your people happy and proud. Now, we are trying not to give just for this occasion in Olympic Games. We will work closely with Coach Bitok. I will work also with other coaches, with National Olympic Committee, Ministry of Sport, National Federation, to secure continuation of growth of volleyball in Kenya and Africa, because Kenya is will be the role model for entire Africa.
That will be all for me. It's back to you, Prince Nesta.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Shifting gears to the Europa League, Ivorian winger Nicolas Pepe's second-half penalty handed Arsenal a lifeline of reaching the Europa League finals. Despite slipping to a 2-1 defeat at the hands of Spanish club Villarreal, Spanish midfielder Manu Trigueres thumped home in the first half for the home side, before his fellow countryman Raul Albiol poked home at the back post. Dani Ceballos' sending off threatened to end Arsenal hopes, but 19-year-old English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka had other ideas as he once again rose to the occasion, winning a crucial penalty that Pepe converted to give the Gunners a precious away goal that still leaves them in contention of reaching their second Europa League final in 3 seasons and with the potential of qualifying for the next season's Champions League. Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who had been missing from the squad after suffering from malaria, had a chance to tie the game in stoppage time, but his attempt inside the area was saved by Villarreal's short stumper Geronimo Rulli. Here's Arsenal team manager Mikel Arteta's take on the match.
Yeah, but one of the main reasons it wasn't that it was that after conceding the goal, we disorganized ourselves in the high press. We were really stretched and we didn't have the right space with the right people, and then we were open. And then we didn't give ourselves the chance even to get set in the final third to do what we wanted to do, because we weren't precise on the ball as well. So overall, it was not the best. We started the second half with the same players in a completely different way. And we play with 3 strikers sometimes, and we didn't score any goals many times in the season. So it's a decision that I made, and that's it.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta reacting to his team's loss to Villarreal in the Europa League. Villarreal fans will be delighted to hear that their team has progressed from 15 of their 16 two-legged ties in major European competitions after winning the first leg, with the only exception being the 2015-2016 UEFA Europa League semi-final, when they lost to Liverpool despite winning the first leg. This was the second time in their 10 European semi-finals that the Gunners have failed to win in their first leg. Also doing so in the 2008-2009 Champions League, in which they ended up being eliminated by Manchester United. In other fixtures, French star of Guinean descent Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, Edinson Cavani and Mason Greenwood recorded their names on the score sheet to ensure Manchester United became the first club to score 6 goals in a major European semi-final match since Real Madrid achieved the same fate in the 1964 European Cup. The Red Devils earned a convincing 6-2 win against Roma in the Europa League semi-final match played at Old Trafford. While the win wasn't quite a repeat of their 7-1 Champions League thrashing of the Italian giants in their 2007 Champions League last 8, it nonetheless bolstered Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's chances to securing his first trophy as United's manager. The 48-year-old Manchester United boss had nothing but praise for his side.
Of course, good reaction at halftime or second half. I thought we played some good stuff in the first half as well, but we forgot that you have to run back as well, and you have to run back quick. And in the second half, we did that part better. And, of course, that creates more opportunities to attack. So, you know, we're a year older, more experienced. Of course, we picked a quite experienced team today to handle setbacks, and they did.
That was Manchester United's boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after his side hammered Italian giants Roma in the Europa League semi-final first leg clash. The Red Devils are in pole position to face the winners of the other semi-final tie pitting Spanish giants Villarreal and Arsenal.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Spanish La Liga's title race took yet another twist as Barcelona squandered yet another chance to go top of the table after suffering a shock 2-1 defeat by Granada. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi had given the hosts the lead by scoring his 33rd goal of the season, but Granada hit back through Darwin Marquise's equalizer before Jorge Molina headed in the winner to complete the remarkable turnaround. Barca currently sits third in the league, level on points with second place Real Madrid and 2 points behind league leaders Atletico Madrid. Sevilla currently in fourth place, just 3 points off first. The Blaugrana and Atletico Madrid are scheduled to meet next Saturday in what looks said to be a titanic battle in the title race.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation. Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now to the Olympics. Japan's chief government spokesman say the Olympics must not be a burden on the nation's medical system. Chief Cabinet Secretary Katsunobu Kato said Friday the games will be held in a manner that makes everyone feel safe. Also on Friday, Tokyo 2020 Olympic officials warned they will consider imposing severe penalties to ensure athletes and other participants comply with the COVID-19 control measures at the Games, which opens July 23rd. The comments came at a roundtable discussion of safety protocols for the Summer Games, which were postponed from last year. Japan currently is in the midst of a surge in cases and lags far behind most developed countries in vaccinating its citizens. So far, less than 2% of the population has been vaccinated. Earlier this week, the organizing committee released its latest quote-unquote playbook of rules regarding the games, which include daily COVID-19 tests for athletes and other measures to keep the virus from spreading at Olympic venues. The organizers have yet to decide if spectators will be allowed at events. Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Into more Olympic news, Canadian swimmer Penny Oleksiak made her record-setting Olympic debut at the 2016 Rio Games as her country's youngest gold medalist. She's now among the early picks to represent Canada in the year's Olympic Games. VOA's Gwen Oten tells us how the champion swimmer is preparing for her trip to Tokyo. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. It's been 5 years since swimmer Penny Oleksiak made history in Rio as the first Canadian to win 4 medals, including 1 gold in a single Summer Games. And in a recent interview with Reuters News, Oleksiak recalled the pressure she felt as a then 16-year-old and Canada's youngest Olympic champion.
I think like the last Olympics, after I got the medals, I think there was a lot of pressure on my shoulders and a lot of people had different expectations for me, and it kind of became overwhelming for a little bit, and I struggled with it for a couple of years, and I struggled with having Olympic champion attached to my name at swim meets and everything, it was like almost like scary for me to go up and race. But now it's more motivating to me. I think when I get up to race and people say Olympic champion Penny Oleksiak, I'm like, yeah, that is me. I did that, and I'm going to do it like again, hopefully, and I'm going to show you right now that I can be fast. And I don't know. I think now I've kind of learned to like tune everything out and just focus on what I'm trying to focus on.
Building on her success in Rio has been a heavy lift. During the 2017 season, a concussion and a lingering shoulder issue kept Oleksiak off the podium in an individual event. The next year, she found it hard to compete following the death of her grandmother and again failed to win a medal at the Commonwealth Games. But after taking a much-needed break from competition, she returned to the pool to get back into top Olympic form in time for Tokyo. And then the pandemic hit, delaying the games for another year.
Honestly, at the beginning of the pandemic, not knowing if or when we were going to train again, we were out for like, I think 5 or 6 months, which is like insane for swimmers, I feel like. And so it was just the like feeling of not knowing anything and just kind of like going in every day. And you never know, the Olympics could be canceled tomorrow. And then it's like, what have I been training the last year and a half for?
Oleksiak can now say she's benefited from the one-year postponement. She's been working hard to improve what is called her front-end speed. She hopes her training will balance out her back-end prowess that helped her achieve a come-from-behind silver medal finish in the 100-meter freestyle 5 years ago. And she revealed the most important element to her training is having fun.
I try to go into practices and races and stuff like for fun now, more so, because when I was at the Olympics, I was going into it just like, I don't even know who I'm racing. I'm here for a good time, you know? And so now when I go into practice, I just make sure that I go in with intentions and I'm feeling good about it. And I'm happy to go in. I'm listening to music before, like, and I do the same thing with races. I just make sure as long as I'm in a good mood, I usually race well.
Oleksiak says she is managing her expectations for Tokyo, but she is anxious to see how much she's grown as a competitor.
I'd say I've definitely changed a lot as like a swimmer and a person. Like I've become a different person. I'm built a lot different than I was in 2016, and that's just how it goes, I guess. But I'm really trying to learn how to go out a bit better, so we'll see how that goes against other girls. But I think I still have that closing speed, and I'm excited to get to show it off again, I hope.
Oleksiak has already been named to the Canadian swimming team at Tokyo 2020, and she'll enter the games just 3 medals shy of becoming her country's most decorated Olympic athlete. And that is all from me, Prince Nesta. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Moving on to some basketball news, Kevin Durant scored 42 points and handed out a game-high 10 assists as his Brooklyn Nets beat the Indiana Pacers 130-113. Dave Ferry with the Associated Press has details.
Kevin Durant poured in 22 of his season-high 42 points in the third quarter to help the Nets post a 130-113 win over the Pacers. Durant hit 16 of 24 shots and had 10 assists in his eighth start since being sidelined for nearly 2 months with a hamstring injury.
They threw a little boxing one out there. They double-teamed me as soon as I touched it in the post. They played zone. So just coming into a game not knowing what a coach is going to throw at me and you know, and as the game starts to go on, me figuring it out, I think that's the funnest part for me.
Alizé Johnson had 20 points and 21 rebounds for the Nets. Brooklyn leads the Eastern Conference by 1.5 games over the 76ers following its fourth straight win. I'm Dave Ferry.
The Nets, playing without their star guards Kyrie Irving and James Harden, had little sympathy for the Pacers, who were also missing Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis, and Jeremy Lamb. At 29 wins and 33 losses, the Pacers are on track for their second losing season since 2011. In other fixtures, three-time NBA champion Steph Curry scored a game-high 37 points, while his teammate Andrew Wiggins added 27 for the Golden State Warriors in their 126-114 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Warriors are currently 10th place in the Western Conference. And that wraps up the Friday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.